From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his first in a series of messages on chapter 53 of the prophecy of Isaiah, one of the most beloved passages in the Old Testament. The theme of the chapter is the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. We'll be hearing from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Grow Up. The text is Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Yes, when the sun shines, the sick quit their chambers and walk abroad to breathe the fresh air. When the sun brings spring and summer, the cattle quit their stalls and seek pasture on the higher Alps. Even thus, when we have conscious fellowship with our Lord, we leave the stall of despondency and walk abroad in the fields of holy confidence. We ascend to the mountains of joy and feed on sweet pasturage which grows nearer heaven than the provender of carnal men. To go forth and to grow up is a double promise. O my soul, be thou eager to enjoy both blessings. Why shouldst thou be a prisoner? Arise and walk at liberty. Jesus saith that his sheep shall go in and out and find pasture. Go forth, then, and feed in the rich meadows of boundless love. Why remain a babe in grace? Grow up. Young calves grow fast, especially if they are stall-fed, and thou hast the choice care of thy Redeemer. Grow then in grace and in the knowledge of thy Lord and Savior. Be neither straitened nor stunted. The Sun of Righteousness has risen upon thee. Answer to his beams as the buds to the natural sun. Open thine heart. Expand and grow up into him in all things.
Deeper, deeper.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. Earlier this week, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah has been called the Gospel of the Old Testament for its many prophetic passages that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 53 portrays the clearest prophecy of Christ's crucifixion as well as the reason for it to be found in the Old Testament. Dr. Cairns has begun these studies with verses 13 through 15 of chapter 52, for that's where the passage really starts. The verses fall into three parts: Christ the servant, Christ the sufferer, and Christ the Savior. Verse 13 presents Christ as God's ultimate servant, the one who would fulfill the Father's will by taking unto himself a true humanity and dying for his people. In verse 14, we see Christ the sufferer, whose visage was marred more than any man. Verse 15 shows Christ the Savior, demonstrating that Christ's success in his work of redemption was in proportion to the severity of his suffering. Now, with the next portion of a message entitled The Humiliation and Exaltation of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
I love those three statements. At the end of verse 13, he shall be exalted. He shall be extolled, and he shall be very high. Christ exalted, Christ extolled, Christ very high, to the very heights of the throne of glory. Does it not remind you of Philippians chapter 2, having given the details of the seven steps down to the depths of humiliation and shame as the servant of the Lord. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The servant of the Lord, listen, the name starts in humiliation, but it ends in the honor of heaven and the homage of all creation. Christ the servant. Very quickly in verse 14, we have Christ the sufferer. Now, I have just two things I want to point out here, and I'll have to do so very, very briefly. We read that many were astonished at thee. I believe that what is being given us here is a vicious expression of aversion to Christ. The word astonished is a word that denotes surprise, it denotes shock, but it has in it the idea of being scandalized. When men look at Christ, the suffering Christ, the mutilated form on the tree, the blood-soaked victim of the center cross, the substitute, the one who had to propitiate the wrath of God and satisfy the law of God ere we could ever be saved. When men look at such a Christ, they are astonished with a scandalized shock and hatred. There is here a vicious expression of aversion to Christ. The world has never loved the thought of a substitutionary sacrifice. And it's still the same today. Oh, the scandal that the cross is to men who are wise in their own conceits. I think of church leaders, wolves in sheep's clothing, the devil's brood within the pale of the professing church, who have dared to mock the blood atonement. I think of one who has now gone to his long home and to his reward, who dared to say that the God of the Old Testament, who demanded a blood atonement, was nothing but a dirty bully. That's not a professed infidel speaking. That's not an atheist speaking. That was a Methodist bishop speaking. He is now gone to be dealt with by the God he so blasphemed. Men have hated, and they do hate, such a Christ. Ah, but listen, my friends, you don't need to go to such extremes to be guilty of the same aversion to Christ. Every man who is seeking to work his way to heaven can put his name right there in that text. Every man who is seeking to do away with God's one way of salvation, who is seeking to bypass the cross and get to glory by some other means, is able to put his name in this text, and he is guilty of this vicious expression of aversion to Christ. What a tragedy when God sets forth picture of his Son that ought to melt every heart to repentance and faith. Men should stand back in scandalized shock and refuse the very Christ whose blood alone can save. thank God, there's more than man's aversion. We get a little deeper into the text in verse 14. And we find his visage, his appearance, his face was marred more than any man. His form was marred more than the sons of men. Here you have the visible effects of affliction in Christ. I think sometimes we fail to do justice to the bodily, mental sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that modern Protestantism, and especially modern evangelicalism, has recoiled so much from the crude idolatry of Romanism and their sacred heart of Jesus and their sacred heart of Mary and all the rest of it. They have recoiled from that so much that we have gone too far. And I fear that our hearts have become hard to the suffering Savior. I want you to think of these words. His face was marred. It's interesting, in Scripture there is no description given of the physical appearance of Jesus Christ. The legend that he had flaxen hair, long beard, grey eyes, was of great physical beauty, was a medieval concoction by a Roman Catholic cleric. It was a forgery put into the name of a Roman governor who never even existed. There is nothing in the New Testament, and there is nothing, interestingly, in the early literature of the sub-apostolic church to describe the features of Jesus Christ. God has done wisely there. That's why I feel that it's such a scandalous thing for any artist to put on canvas any form and say, this is Jesus Christ. The only thing we're ever told about the face of Christ is that it was marred. The lines of sorrow were deeply gouged. I think that happened even before he went to the cross. I think that there's something notable in the statement of the Jews when they looked at a man of just over 30 years of age and they said, thou art not yet 50. I think you would feel you were aging pretty quickly if at 30 somebody said, well, you're hardly 50 yet. The lines of sorrow were deeply gouged. Lines of suffering furrowed his brow. But after that awful night in Gethsemane, such a night as the world never saw before and has never seen since, such a night when the very life of the Christ of God was in the balance, and all hell was at him, and all the vile insinuations of a filthy devil were seeking to gain entrance to the pure mind of the Savior, and the body was drained of strength, and the soul bombarded with all the armory of hell. Such a night, with his life in the balance, that the Son of God had to cry, Lord, let this cup pass from me. tell you, after that night, his face was marred. Who can tell the agony of the flagellation? Who can tell the agony of the loss of blood? Who can tell the agony of those horrible hours on Calvary when every breath was murderously painful? His face was marred. His form was marred. Through the whip of the Roman lictor, with that leathern thong laced either with bone or nail, gouging his flesh until his back ran down with great rivers of blood, and then after it all to be hung on a cross so that every bone was pulled out of joint. His form was marred. The Hebrew here says his visage was marred from men. His form from the sons of men. The idea obviously is that his face was marred more than any other human face had ever been marred. His form was marred more than any other human form had ever been marred. But I think those commentators have something who say that the force of the word from here is that he was so marred that when men looked upon him, they did not recognize him even as anything human. He was so marred that he was no longer a man. When I thought of that, I thought of the words of the Savior himself given prophetically in the 22nd Psalm and the verse 6, where he cried to God his Father, "I am a worm. I am no man." The suffering Savior, the servant, the sufferer, but thank God, the Savior. Verse 15. There is a result to the suffering. Notice the "as." I'm not getting into syntax and grammar this morning, but for simplicity, those who have studied the original text will know that it's not as simple as I'm making it. But for simplicity, we can put his visage to the sons of men in parentheses. As many were shocked at thee, so here is the balancing statement. So he shall sprinkle many nations. Christ the Savior, notice the result of his service and his suffering. First, he will sprinkle many nations. The sprinkling is the sprinkling of the blood. It is the application of that blood to expiate the guilt of the sins of men. Verse 14 ends with him in the depth of suffering, cut off from man. But verse 15 says that blood that was shed, that pain that was endured, that suffering to whose depths he sank, was not in vain. For thank God, the blood shed is shed for the remission of sins. And the blood shed was not shed to lie in vain in the ground of Palestine, but that blood shed was sprinkled blood. Thank God, he'll sprinkle many nations.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.